So it's quite a different talk to last week, but for those of us who were last time, we're meeting Anne again. So Anne's having a little heart-to-heart with Jesus, and she's bemoaning that her work doesn't have meaning or make a difference. Last time's talk told us our work gives us something to do. We're being productive. We can serve others, but our work is unable to tell me who I am. We cannot look to our work for security, identity, or significance. Work is like vapor if we don't see the Creator in it. The last talk concluded that the most significant work done in the history of the world was what Jesus did on the cross on our behalf. And we concluded that everything is a gift from the Creator. We can't earn it. As Jesus responds to Anne in the last frame of that comic, let's start with a difference in attitude towards our work. And in this light, I'm going to propose some practical ways we can change the way we see our workplaces and our co-workers. Seeing our work, other people and ourselves as the Creator does means more than just good behaviour. What we do and what we say are undergirded by a difference in view of humanity, a different source of wisdom, and by knowing we're working for the ultimate boss, a heavenly one. We spend 40 to 50 hours in our workplace. It's possible we're spending more time with co-workers than with some of our loved ones and dear friends. We could just go to work, do our set tasks, and head home at the end of the day. But what if, by developing friendships in our workplaces, we could make our workday richer and have an impact on other people's lives and their workday? What if love for people could do that? And in what ways would we show that? But just a little clarifications there. We're not talking about romantic love in the office or for the office. We're talking friendships or just improving another person's day. So turn to your handout. And as you can see, I've put the practical tips under a few headings. And really helpful, they all begin with M's. So I refer to the M's throughout the talk. And this talk overall is just a really light intro. And at the end, I'll be suggesting a few other ways where we can dig deeper and especially into the Bible. And I'm especially looking forward to giving you a true example of applying these ideas in your workplace. I was going to have a live person here, but she's away with a cold. Anyway, on to our first M, minister, grace and love. The first one under my picture. Because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we're dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. We might not be experiencing grace and love from people in our workplace or wherever we are, but we know the grace and love of an awesome Creator. He showed and continues to show us great kindness when we have and when we are not loving or kind to Him. By His grace, He is loving us when we don't deserve it. There are many ways for us to do this also. We can share practical care and kindness with those who need it. We can show it through the way we respond in difficult and indeed ordinary situations. What about a meal when a person is going through a family bereavement or illness? And it may be surprising to know that in an office full of people, there are actually lonely people amongst the crowd. Tune your eyes and ears and look around for clues. Put in some friendly conversation. Show interest. Take lunch together. Make cups of tea. Leave chocolate. Just be creative. Or another work idea, think about when we're doing annual reviews, if you're an overseer. Do an appraisal with the other person's long-term interest at heart, not just the company's interests. Or even simple little things on a daily basis, engaging with the checkout person, the barista, or maybe a lonely shopper in a charity shop. The idea is just to lift another person's day. Don't just wish someone a nice day, be the nice in their day. Let's jump to our second M in our handout, our mouthpiece for truth and justice, reading from Micah. He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. So here in the Old Testament, we learn that the God of Israel cares deeply about the ethical conduct of his people, about their relationship with him and about justice and goodness. To walk humbly with your Creator is to rely on Him and have His character. He can give us courage and wisdom to respond in the right way to any issues of injustice you might encounter. So there will be times when that means speaking up against things that are unfair, unhealthy, untruthful, and speaking up for things that are true, just, and good. It takes courage, wisdom, and prayer. It means we see people as humans with dignity and we treat people well. Consider our workplaces when there's gossip and grumbling. Such negativity just grows way too easily. So we try to turn negative conversations around to positives, whether it's about a person or a situation. This whole positive mindset helps our workday or anywhere. Seeing the positives in people changes our attitude towards them. Seeking out positives and expressing gratitude about our work and our workplaces improves our day too. Surely that would make it easier getting out of bed in the morning. Let's read from Paul's letter to the church in Galatia in your handout under Modelling Godly Character. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbour as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. The fruit of the Spirit are characterised by an inner assurance and selfless love. Our work life has tough times and easy times. We find ourselves working with difficult people and delightful people. I looked at Paul when I said that. Difficult people and delightful people. Within this mix, how might we manifest the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. But yes, we do find ourselves dealing with difficult people and those who don't have the fruit of the Spirit. How do we respond to obnoxious peers or the ogre boss? This drives us to reliance on God and Him, using the person or situations to grow us in our fruits of the Spirit and growing in Christ-likeness. Our workplaces are important places where godly character can be both developed and displayed in us. So that's developed and displayed in us. The fruit of the Spirit are characterised... Oh, sorry. So, what can stop us from being others-centred on our front lines? Paul tells us that these fruit come from a life led by the Spirit. They're not a to-do list, but rather characteristics of walking with God. What might it mean to keep in step with the Spirit in our workplaces? So just a little quick overviews in each of these. So our next M, moulding culture, at the top of that second page from Jeremiah. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. So seeking the peace and prosperity of your workplace and your co-workers. So this is an idea of shalom, the word in the Hebrew there. So peace and well-being for another person. Your frontline has a particular culture. It's the way we do things around here. Some things will reflect God's values, some probably won't. Affirm what's good about your frontline culture. Perhaps there are ways you can help to make your frontline a better place. Although you might not be able to change what your company does by next Monday, you may be able to begin with a few people and a few small actions. What things bother you? What are the values that underpin them? What could be done differently that would make it a better place for people to flourish? What would make it more like God's will being done on earth as it is in heaven? Now, to illustrate this, I'm going to introduce you to PJ, and she's had a go at making her workplace better by applying these ideas and principles. I don't have PJ, she's home with a cold, but she was looking forward to joining us. So, making our workplace a place where we can flourish. So PJ, her role is called Project Admin Support. So she works in engineering companies and she does this admin support. So although she's not an engineer, she does a lot of this admin and supportive things like that. So when she started at her workplace, I asked her to give me an idea of what was the vibe and what was it like. She talked about it being very, especially from the boss, very directive. It wasn't collaborative. It was really quite reactive. The office director was micromanaging and he was really controlling. But that resulted in him shouldering too much. His way of communication and giving out tasks was in such a way that he basically set people up for failure. And then the managers that were there, it was a bit of a men's club. And the rest of the workers in the team didn't feel like they were a team. So it was really critical. There was cutting people down in public, like at the staff meetings, but no encouragements at the staff meetings. So I asked PJ, what was the effect of that? How did the workers respond? She said there was undercurrents of fear and resentment. There were even tears on her part and a couple of the other ladies' part. But because of that cutting down in the meetings, people would keep quiet, and, unless they were also cut down. They didn't feel like a team. There was quite a bit of grumbling. The managers felt like a team. And at least half of the workers were going to leave within that few months of PJ starting there. So this is 18 months ago. So even though there were those difficulties, you could see the director. He was a good operator. He was a hard worker. But he was a bit lost in the wood for the trees due to the overload. So I asked PJ, what did she have a try to implement? So she wanted to start a more stimulating and encouraging environment. She started thank you cards. She thanked people for doing their little jobs, like their kitchen roster duties, just showing appreciation, little cards. She also put up a notice board with everybody's pictures up there and basically helped it be a bit more about people. She was able to convince the boss to give her a budget to start celebration morning teas. So each month they would, at these morning teas, celebrate birthdays, anniversaries of how long people had been at that workplace, and recognition of other little achievements, whether it was at work or outside of work. And the monthly staff meetings turned into something more collaborative rather than just the key director saying everything, including all that negative stuff. An interesting idea she had was to organise a thank you gift and a thank you card for this office director to give appreciation for his positives. That resulted in a few grumbles, and people couldn't see why she would want to do that. You know, what are we going to do that for? And they really just didn't like him. The plan was to give it at the Christmas party, but this group of people were so discouraged. Most of them didn't even come to their Christmas party. They didn't want to see each other outside of office hours. So the gift and the words were given at a morning tea. But he'd never had anything like that or heard any of those words before. So the improvements that PJ's seen in that workplace. The people didn't leave. There was only one guy that left out of the half the team that was planning to, and he was been planning to for 4 years. So he was going anyway. But the staff meetings became organised and chaired by one of the other managers. The director just says he's one small part, and others speak as organised and directed by this other manager that organises the meeting. So the meetings are no longer dreaded or feared by the staff. So, and the managers now have a better distribution of work. The director doesn't have to micromanage every little detail. PJ gave me an example of this year's Christmas party. She chose shortlisted a few places of where to have it, and she went with a director to just two of the, not the director, one of the managers, to two of the places. They finalised that, put the budget together, just gave that to the director, the final numbers, the final approval, sign it off, and that's all he had to do with it. He didn't have to get all involved in every little step of it. So that sharing of the workload. So that's a huge improvement for his workload and for his brain space. So, but part of that also, this director has also started stopping for conversations. So he even stopped at the photocopier to have a chat with PJ and asked about her life outside of work. And needless to say, PJ was a little bit shocked, but he is trying. He's learning about other people's lives, and people are more than just the tasks they do. So, all right, so I've asked PJ why, what made her stay, why go to all this effort to put these changes in to make improvements, and what helped her perseverance. So PJ concurred she also wanted to leave, especially initially, as it was just a temporary option, and she's the main breadwinner in her family. So she was hoping for another job, you know, within a few months anyway. And it was pretty hard being so discouraged, not the least of which the tears, and seeing others discouraged and in tears. But PJ says she's got a serving mindset. She even helps keep the kitchen clean, even when there's a roster. But people are pretty good, and she does give them gentle reminders. PJ's serving mindset is because her true boss, her ultimate boss, is a saviour who served his people. Jesus, the servant king, who sacrificed himself for the good of others, for us to have an abundant life instead of bondage. What really helped PJ keep that reminder has been being part of a prayer team here in town. We meet before work, we look at God's word, and we especially apply it to our work, our workplaces, and our co-workers. We've been doing a range of readings under these topics that we're covering today in these areas and these six ministry M's. And we pray for God's hand on all of it, for strength, for courage, for wisdom, for perseverance, as you see in this case, and for love that comes from him. Praying for patience and grace for him to change our outlook and how we see the people around us. We'd also pray for clarity and for understanding on the other party's place when she's having to go into difficult conversations or in a meeting. PJ has basically got a group of us supporting her in the struggles, and we put our heads together with around these M ideas to come up with ideas to put into place. And as you've seen, we get to celebrate the improvements that she's made in those workplaces with God at her side. And he's been really gracious, and so we've been able to thank him for that. And she goes each day into her workplace knowing that Jesus is alongside of her, going into hard meetings, and he's alongside her to help her be courageous. So we can see, reflecting on these M ideas, some thought, being intentional about looking outwards and relying on God's strength to serve and to see the changes. So keeping an eye on the time, we don't really have time to cover all six of these M's today, but you can see that I've included these ideas to make changes around us, because we're his instruments to model his character, to make good work, to minister grace and love, to mould culture, to be a mouthpiece for truth and justice, and to share his message. So you can see there under make good work, we have a verse from Colossians. So this includes both what we do and how we do it. It means doing good work that serves other people, contributes to human flourishing, and that we're good stewards of creation. And just a quick touch on messenger of the gospel is our sixth M in the set. The most life-transforming words are the words of the gospel. This is the best news we can share with anyone. As Isaiah said there, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, and who say to Zion, your God reigns. And when we have the other areas, ideas, we're having a go at those and making them work, they can lead to opportunities to share and be this messenger directly. So, as Jesus suggests to Anne, who is seeking meaning and to make difference, we can change our attitudes to our work, the places and the people. So I'm suggesting that part of the attitude is to look outwards more and inwards less. Our work tasks, just the straight tasks, can make a difference, but we can be a difference. Show interest in other people show love. To see the Creator there and bring a little piece of Him there to your workplace, where His instruments to try to do each of these things. You don't have to do all of them, just one idea. Just look around with new eyes. You might already be doing some of these things. And God uses us, as we saw with PJ, in big ways and small ways, to just be available. So as that's really just brief, to read some more, I've put a few more resources at the bottom of your handout there. There's a few books and a couple of authors. Some of them I have here. And for more Bible inputs, I've got little booklets from about these six M's called The Fruitfulness on the Frontline Prayer Journey. Or stick around and discuss a couple of the points that we've skipped. And as I mentioned, another option here is our prayer teams here in the city. We discuss ideas and opportunities of being and doing specific things in our workplaces. And it's especially helpful having that group setting to be able to bounce ideas around when we're stuck for ideas, and a reminder to keep looking outwards. So, you know, chat to us, email us about joining one. I know where everybody is at here. But anyway, the EPTs, the prayer teams, are a highlight of our work week. You know, go back to Paul for telling us about July.